evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library, KFPL, has announced that their busiest branch, the Isabel Turner branch, will be closed in fall 2024 for major building updates. Located at 935 Gardner's Road, the Isabel Turner branch was constructed in 1997. With the advancements made in library services, technology, community needs, and accessibility standards over the past 27 years, the building is due for an upgrade. In June 2023, the city issued a request for proposals for the project, which was awarded to VG Architects, a firm with expertise in designing and renovating library spaces. The budget for this project is approximately $4.9 million, with $300,000 allocated to costs associated with relocation. Due to the scope of the work, the branch is expected to close in fall 2024. During the closure, they will temporarily relocate to the Cataraqway Center at 945 Gardner's Road to ensure continuous library services for the community. Kristen LeMay, Manager of Projects and Strategic Initiatives at KFPL, had the following to say about the renovations and the library's resources during the time the space is under construction.
It sounded like a long list of improvements covering accessibility, sustainability, etc. I was wondering what kinds of improvements are being made to the space starting in September.
Right. So this branch has been an important community hub in the West End, and we're really excited to revitalize this space to enhance accessibility and functionality. The Isabel Turner branch was built in 1997, so it's time to update important systems like the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. In addition to these facilities upgrades, we will be refreshing the space, so you'll be seeing some new furniture and carpeting as well.
Do you have a specific timeline for how long this can take, or where folks can kind of keep up with developments on this?
So the project is slated to start in fall of this year. And for developments and timelines, I'd like to direct people to KFPL's website, where we have a page set up for sharing information about the renovation. So that page will continue to be updated as we have more details to release about the project and expected timelines.
Awesome, sounds good. This is the largest library branch that we have. So where will these services be located in the meantime, and what changes can people expect come September when reconstruction starts?
We'll be setting up a temporary branch at the Cataraqway Center in late fall 2024. We're happy to be in a nearby location where patrons can still make use of public transit and there's parking available. In the temporary space, we will have a small browsing collection, room for reservations, and we'll also have some computer stations.
Is there anything that's going to be altered, like maybe less access to books or anything like that? Or is it all going to be same old, but in a new spot?
So the temporary space will be considerably smaller than the Isabel Turner branch. So we will have a small browsing collection, but it will be a different experience than the Fuller branch, certainly. And patrons can continue to come into the current branch, the Isabel Turner branch, to enjoy the spaces and services that we have until it closes this fall. The temporary branch will be opening later in the fall, and we're aiming to minimize the disruption to patrons' routines. We also have a digital collection that's available 24/7. So if you're looking to read an ebook, listen to an e-audiobook, listen to music, watch a movie, you can access all of these materials from your device, whether you are at home or out on the go.
Once again, that was Kristen LeMay with KFPL sitting down with CFRC to talk about the Isabel Turner branch closure starting in fall 2024. For more information and updates on the project, you can visit the Engage KFPL website. By the end of the summer, those voyaging between Wolf Island and Kingston can expect a quieter, smoother ride with reduced carbon footprint, as after over 2 years of anticipation, the Ministry of Transportation is preparing to transition the Wolf Islander 4 to full-time service. Originally, it was announced that the new ferry would enter full-time service in early 2021, but that timeline has continued to be delayed due to construction delays and crew shortages.
As of August 17th, 2024, the Wolf Islander 4 will be replacing the Wolf Islander 3, which has been in operation since 1976. This comes at a crucial time as the Wolf Islander 3 has been experiencing frequent mechanical issues as of late, causing many trip delays and cancellations. Some travelers experienced the Wolf Islander 4 on a few surprise trips throughout last summer while the previous edition was being repaired. According to the release from the ministry announcing the transition, the new ferry is one of the first electric passenger and vehicle ferries in North America. At 98 meters long, the Wolf Islander 4 can carry up to 399 passengers and 75 vehicles, a large increase from the Wolf Islander 3 with a maximum capacity of 294 passengers and up to 55 vehicles. The first trip of the day will depart Wolf Island at 5 a.m. and the last trip will depart Kingston at 2:20 a.m. with an initial round trip schedule every 80 minutes. The Wolf Islander 4 will carry 500 more vehicles per day. The new ferry will initially be operating out of the Dawson Point dock on Wolf Island, but the ministry is working to open the Marysville terminal as soon as possible. According to the ministry, work is also underway on charging and docking infrastructure improvements to enable the Wolf Islander 4 to make more frequent trips in the future. That wraps up your headlines for this evening, and next up is Paige Lang with your CFRC Arts Desk.
Thanks, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. Continuing this month, the Tet until August 21st will be Contemplating Glaciers, a dialogue, a soul exhibition from Jan Kapitoff, curated by Jessica Turner. The exhibition will include photography, sculpture, paintings, video, audio, and even a virtual reality element using the Oculus headset, and footage from a documentary on the melting of the Athabasca Glacier, currently in production from this creative team. All ages are welcome to peruse this exhibition in the Tet Center Gallery, and it is free to do so, though exhibition hours vary. There's new events and exhibitions all the time, and to learn more, you can visit tetcenter.org. This year's Kick and Push Festival, now in its 10th year as an interactive local theater festival, launched on July 25th and runs until August 18th across Kingston. Kick and Push specializes in one-of-a-kind, unexpected, and immersive shows that take the audience beyond passive observers, ranging from venues like the Grand Theater to the Tet Center, to the more unexpected. Kick and Push also hosts the Theater Kingston Fringe Festival, which runs 11 days from August 1st to 11th across three venues and includes 18 shows. To learn more about Kick and Push, you can visit thekickandpush.com, and for more on Fringe, visit theaterkingston.com. In more theater news, Blue Canoe Theatrical Productions presents the Cole Porter musical High Society at the Domino Theater. Running until August 10th, Blue Canoe brings theater opportunities for local youth under 30 to the stage in Kingston, and is now in their 18th season. Tickets to this production are $25 for general audiences and $18 for youth and seniors. To learn more and for tickets, visit bluecanoetheatrical.ca. At the Union Gallery, in partnership with Modern Fuel, is the Twofold Artists in Residence program. Led by co-directors Jill Glott and Berlin Reed, this program provides an opportunity for local BIPOC artists to dive into their practices, collaborations, and discussions while having access to designated workspaces, professional development and mentorship, communal events, and to studio visit platform. This year's artists in residence are Shanique Pert, Alicia Yudvari, Shamara Pert, and Sumera Khan, who will work at the Union Gallery in July and Modern Fuel Art Gallery in August. The Union Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday and is free to visit. For more information, visit uniongallery.queensu.ca. This and every summer Tuesday, you can head down to Springer Market Square for Salsa in the Square. From 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., enjoy a free beginner class, then hit the open dance floor until 10 p.m. Also every Wednesday summer evening, enjoy Swingin' Summer, a live music throwback to the era of romantic, joyful, and jazzy songs, from 7 to 8 p.m. And every summer Friday evening, Springer Market Square hosts Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live local country music. For more on these events, visit downtownkingston.ca. Registration for summer term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults, as well as workshops and summer camps. Coming up in August are adult programs like Exploring Realism with Charcoal, Realism in Oil, Foundations of Darkroom Photography and Intermediate Print Space, and youth program Painting Creatures. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. Every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in four more rounds of trivia, whether you're going solo or in a team, with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with $50 gift cards and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. Kingston welcomes back Movies in the Square and Springer Market Square on Thursdays this summer, and the full lineup has now been announced. This week, August 1st, A League of Their Own starts at dusk. This summer, you can also mark your calendars for Beetlejuice on August 8th, Freaky Friday on August 15th, Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian on August 22nd, and Lilo and Stitch on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendars now and bring your blankets, chairs, and bug spray to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. That's all I got for you on Arts Desk today. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, August 5th, 2024. Today's sports report is the ninth part in a 12-part series previewing the upcoming OUA football season, and today we'll be focusing on the Windsor Lancers. 2023 was a breakthrough season for the Windsor Lancers, who capitalized on the slow trickle of momentum they had been building in 2021 and 2022. Windsor was the hottest team in Ontario at one point, going 5-0 to start the season, highlighted by a 29-5 drubbing of Queens, before being brought down to earth with a 21-10 loss to Western, and perhaps most consequentially, a 40-7 blowout at the hands of the Laurier Golden Hawks. Windsor would rebound from these two losses with a 69-0 victory over York, but the team didn't have the same level of momentum or confidence that it had had in the first half of the season. They narrowly beat Carleton 14-11 in the OUA quarterfinals before losing 21-14 to Laurier in a nail-biter in the OUA semifinals. Windsor is a very different OUA team in that they have a high number of American-born recruits on their roster. Perhaps the most important American-born player on the Lancers is wide receiver Giovanni Cunningham, who puts up points in the receiver position as well as a punt and kick returner on special teams. Speaking of the Windsor offense, this will be a run-first football team in 2024, with Wiegbe Mambo and Joey Zorn taking the lion's share of the load. In 2023, Christopher John, who is built like a cannonball and runs just as hard, was their primary change of pace back, and he had a great deal of success, especially in goal line sets. Though they boast an excellent running game and a strong offensive line, Windsor struggled to throw the football in 2023. Things got so bad that their regular season starter, Danny Skelton, was actually subbed out in the playoffs and replaced with his backup, Nick Domovsky, who played adequate but not outstanding football. The Lancers had an outstanding 2023, finishing 6-2, but if they want that level of success in 2024, they need to add an extra dimension to their offense. Let's talk for a moment about the much-vaunted Lancer defense. In 2023, Windsor had one of the best units in the country. They were fast, aggressive, they generated turnovers, and they scored points. However, we saw the Lancer defense be exposed partially against Laurier. When Windsor's pass rush was thwarted by an excellent Laurier offensive line, we saw that the defense lost a lot of its power. The aggressive blitzing scheme was undone by quality line play and quick passes, and that's the largest reason why Windsor dropped both contests to Laurier. The defense will need to add a second dimension beyond the pass rush in 2024 if they want to continue to be one of the top units in the country. Despite finishing 6-2 in 2023, Windsor has a pretty favorable schedule for 2024. Three of their toughest games are played at home, and of their road games, only two are particularly challenging in Guelph and Western. With this in mind, I think Windsor will finish 5-3 in the regular season. They'll beat Carleton, they'll beat York, they'll beat Ottawa, they'll beat Toronto, and they'll beat Guelph, but I expect them to lose to Queens, Laurier, and Western. 5-3, strong playoff team. It's very possible that they overachieve again and perform past my prediction, but that's what I'm feeling looking at their schedule and looking at the team they'll be fielding in 2024. This concludes your sports report for Monday, August 5th. This is Jesse Bell signing off and leaving you with a promo hyping up the Queens Windsor season opener on August 24th. On Saturday, August 24th, it all begins again. The ecstasy.
Richard Stadium comes alive. Alex Freakin is hype. I'm hype. I love football.
The exhilaration.
And there he goes. That man is bad. That man is fast. And he is up over the 50, still on his feet.
The heartbreak.
And Laurier wins on an absolute heartbreaker at Richardson Stadium.
The pain.
No!
All part of a long journey to football immortality for the Queen's Gaels. And on Saturday, August 24th, in Windsor, Ontario, it all begins again. 3:45 p.m. pregame show, 4 p.m. kickoff, and there's only one place you can catch all the action.
This is Queen's Football on CFRC.
This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting mainly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers early this evening and a risk of thunderstorm. We have a low of 15 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, Tuesday, August 6th, we're expecting cloudy skies clearing near noon. We have a high of 23 degrees with humidex that's going to feel like 27. We have a UV index of 8 or very high. Tuesday night we'll have clear skies with a low of 14. On Wednesday, August 7th, we have sunny skies with a high of 24 degrees, and Wednesday night, clear skies with a low of 14. On Thursday, August 8th, we're expecting sunny skies with a high of 24 and cloudy skies for the evening with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 16. On Friday, the 9th of August, we're finishing off the week with cloudy skies and a 30% chance of showers with a high of 25 degrees. Friday night, cloudy periods with a low of 17. That wraps up your weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report. Now for your CFRC weekly traffic report. Pavement rehabilitations will take place along Highway 401 between Westbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 westbound at Sydenham Road on ramp, expect lane and ramp closures during the following dates and times. August 6th from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. August 6th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., August 7th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., and August 8th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. Highway 401 eastbound at Sydenham Road, expect a lane and ramp closure during the following dates and times, August 8th from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In road closures to look out for, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert closed until December 31st for construction activity. Baggett Street, Barry to West closed July 30th until August 8th at 7 p.m. for the Canadian Little League Championship. Earl Street, University to Division closed August 6th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. for reconstruction of Aberdeen Street. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th closed until September 1st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Plastarms to north end of King closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street, Victoria to Albert closed beginning August 7th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Project details are available on Get Involved Kingston. University Avenue, Union to Stewart closed August 8th from 12:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. to accommodate participant safety for the 2024 Canadian Orienteering Festival. University Avenue, Union to Earl closed for removal of debris from the Queen's JDUC project. Wellington Street, Princess to Brock closed August 6th and 7th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. William Street, University to Division closed August 6th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. for reconstruction of Aberdeen Street. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. No more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. On Wednesday, August 7th, the Hanson Memorial Garage will be fully closed from 5 p.m. to 2 p.m. Alternative parking is available at the Robert Bruce Memorial Garage, 266 Baggett, and the Chown Memorial Garage, 197 Brock. In other delays to look out for, Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins Phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements.
Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect a lane closure to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road. Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue. The lane closure will be controlled by a temporary traffic signal. John Counter Boulevard at Montreal Street. Expect delays while a contractor completes interim intersection improvements. Work will take place overnight from Sunday night to Friday mornings during the week and on weekends during the day. For more details on all of these projects, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. That wraps up your traffic report for this evening, and next up is your concerts and events calendar with Dinah Jansen.
Thank you so much. And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concert and Events Calendar. Have an event you would like posted on our website and announced on our news programming? Reach out to us via CFRC.ca. Coming up on Monday evening, join local artist Gerald McGrath during his July musical residency at the Cove Inn for an evening of pop, rock, and indie live looping soundscapes from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. On Tuesday, August 6th, Tom's Tunes Day happens at the RCHA on Ontario Street. Come for the Happy Hour Jam from 4 to 7 p.m., a weekly free event to attend. Eric Ewan and Megan Ballo are also playing on Tuesday at the Cove Inn. You can enjoy some music from this ethereal folk duo. The patio is open. You can grab some refreshments, soak up some sun, and watch the show from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. On Wednesday, August 7th, bring your friends to the patio at the Cove Inn for Wings and Tunes, a weekly open mic jam with Sean McCullough and friends from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Admission is free. And you can also walk down to Springer Market Square on Wednesday evening for Swingin' Summer with the Nostalgic Sound Big Band. You can enjoy romantic, joyful, and jazzy music of yesteryear from 7 to 8 p.m. for free. And coming up on Thursday, August 8th, you can head over for Great Standards and Originals by local artist Michael K. Myers at the RCHA. Admission is $5 and the show gets going from 7 to 10 p.m. Also on August 8th, enjoy Sapphic Sirens, the Queer Caravan, featuring music by queer femme, indie pop, and rock bands The Black Void, Frankie Flowers Dichotomy, and Alia Archangel at The Mansion, starting at 8:30 p.m. Admission is $17. And also on Thursday night, you can check out the Chris George Project with the Jacob River Milnes Music Group for a night of fun pop rock for free at the Toucan from 9:30 onwards. And now moving into your weekend, we've got a lot of great concerts for you. On Friday, August 9th, check out local indie rock outfit $5 Dates for free at Blue Martini from 7 to 10 p.m. And just down the street, the RCHA is hosting Happy Hour TJIF with Smoke and Roosters, a free show happening from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. and starting at 8 p.m., East Coast Juno and Maple Blues Award winner Garrett Mason is playing a show at the RCHA. Tickets are $15. And also on Friday, August 9th, get your funky friends and head on down to the Toucan for a free show featuring the Boo Radley Project, fusing funk, indie, and jazz for your dancing pleasure, starting at 10:30 p.m. And then coming up on Saturday, August 10th at midday, head over to Confederation Park for free live music starting at 11:30, featuring performances by local acts, Third Time's a Charm, Rivercats, and Cacao. You can also walk down to the Juniper Cafe for summer live music, also happening on August 10th, featuring music on the cafe's waterfront patio by Doug Van Der Horden. The free event runs from 4 to 6 p.m. And also on August 10th, Many Moons Events presents an evening of moody indie and folk rock with local bands Funeral Lakes and Princess Towers, an all-ages event starting at 7 p.m. happening at 12 Cataraqui Street. Admission is $15 or pay what you can. And on Sunday, August 11th, take a drive out to Finkel's Shore Park in Bath for an afternoon of free music performed by Lucanus Pell at 3 p.m., Frank Ryan at 4 p.m., and also Abby Stewart at 5 p.m. And now it's time for the CFRC Community Events Calendar. If you have a community event you would like to promote on our airwaves and on our website, reach out to us via CFRC.ca. And coming up on August 5th, don't forget that the Theatre Kingston Fringe Festival is a theatre festival within the larger Kick and Push Festival running August 1st through 11th. There are many performances for the TK Fringe Festival that are performed at the Confederation Place Hotel, Davies Lounge, and Baby Grand. Visit thekickandpush.com or kingstongrand.ca for box office information. Runner's Choice is running its free weekly run group, where all ages and paces are welcome to join in a fun social walk or run along the K&P Trail, meet up with the group at Riverhead Brewing Company at 5:30 p.m., and circle back to socialize with refreshments and new friends at this free family-friendly weekly event. Also on August 5th, you can head to the Spire, which is hosting the Queen Swing Dancing Club for introductory swing dance lessons and socializing from 7 to 10 p.m. The cost is $5 for students and $10 for community members. No experience is necessary. And on Tuesday, August 6th, head on over to Confederation Park between 7 and 9 p.m. for Drag in the Park, a family-friendly and free drag show fundraiser supporting Trellis HIV and community care. You can also visit Springer Market Square for free salsa in the square. Get your groove on and enjoy the spicy beats and learn dance salsa for free from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. for lessons and enjoy the dance floor until 10 p.m. Coming up on Wednesday, August 7th, Daft Brewery is hosting its weekly YGK Trivia Night, a free event starting at 7 o'clock, running through 9:30. And Musiki Cafe is also hosting its weekly life drawing event from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Bring your own art supplies and $5. On Thursday, August 8th, folks can bring a lawn chair and a pal and head down to the Springer Market Square on Thursday night for a free screening of Beetlejuice starting at dusk. Also on Thursday, folks who are 55 years old or older seeking to connect with seniors can check out the weekly senior social group at the KCCU room at the Kingston Community Health Centers between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. On Friday, August 9th, why not check out the six-city guided walking tour facilitated by the Museum of Healthcare. One-hour tours with 15 minutes of total walking times run between 10:30 and 2 p.m. Thursdays through Saturdays. Admission is $10 for adults and free for children under 12. Also on Friday, St. Mark's Lutheran is also hosting Balboa Social Dance on Friday with doors opening at 6:15 for all-level introductory Balboa dance lessons starting at 6:30. Admission is $5 for students and $8 for community members. And coming up on August 10th, come on down to City Park from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for the 41st Annual Women's Art Festival, featuring over 150 artists and artisans, local live entertainment, including music and dancing, local cuisine, and a children's activity tent. The event is free and all are welcome. And finally, on Sunday, August 11th, Roots and Wings, a group for girls, trans, two-spirit, and gender nonconforming youth of color between ages 8 and 14 in Kingston, is hosting a free community gathering and potluck barbecue for BIPOC folks and their families. Join in the fun at 1 p.m. in Victoria Park and enjoy music, games, and activities.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.